Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
It's great to see you all this morning. Welcome to episode 3 of our Thrill of Hope series that we've been walking through the month of December. Hard to believe the time is ticking and we are getting closer to the big day, but it's the truth. We've had this month our Christmas spirit in the hall. You see that? And people have been stepping up to help sponsor children around the world that our missionaries work with. And we've raised close to $4,000 for the kids that are out there. So give a big hand to everybody who's helped be a part of that. We want to thank you all for your generosity. We're officially stepping into the final week of prep and rehearsals for our big grand celebration services coming up on Sunday the 22nd and then on Tuesday night on Christmas Eve on the 24th. So it's going to be great. Many of you have already been inviting friends and family and neighbors. And so when you come in again today, you saw in your seats more invitations. And so we're encouraging everybody to invite at least 5 people this year and pray for the people that you're inviting. Don't just invite people from other churches. Invite people that don't go to church, people that don't even know who Christ is. Invite them to come out and experience hope for themselves. And don't stop there. Go and pick them up. Sit with them when they come. Take them out to lunch afterwards. Do whatever you got to do to be a part of the miracle of Christmas in their lives. And I've asked the ushers once again this week to be at all 3 doors on the way out. And so if you'd like more invitations, and you'll hand them out this week, this is your last week, the big push before Sunday, to invite people to all 3 of the services that are coming up. If you jump on Calvary's social media this week on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, you'll see invitations and events that are on there that you can share online with your friends. So make those plans. And let's believe for every service to be just filled to capacity this year. And I want to say this to the 10:30 folk. That's all of you. That this service is very full now on Sundays. And so I would encourage you next week that if you don't normally go to a different service, to consider going to the 12. Bring your guests to the 12 o'clock to help us even out the flow of humanity next week. And come early because the seats are going to fill up quickly. Parking lot will fill up quickly. So if you want a good spot to park and sit, come early next week and on Christmas Eve, because again, it's a busy time of the year. Admission is absolutely free. It's our gift to the community. So this Sunday is what we call our Thrill of Hope Christmas Spectacular. This is a production of music, drama, dance. Our drum team is back this year, and it was amazing last year. You see it this year. It's going to be even better, and we got a few holiday surprises thrown in there for the fun. On the 24th, on Tuesday night, probably some of my favorite services of the entire year, as people who have made this service a tradition in their family come and light up this room with candles. And again, you'll see the snow fall at Calvary as it does on Christmas Eve. Okay, let's jump into the Word of God. If you got your Bibles, open it with me. Open your app. Open your Bible. If you don't have one, no worries. It's up on the big screen. We're going to start by reading Romans chapter 15, verse 13. And it says this: I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace. The focus of Advent today, joy. Because why? Because you trust Him. Then the Bible says that you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So before you can pass on hope to someone else, you need to experience the reality of hope for yourself first. The title of my message today is something that we've been working towards over the last couple of weeks, and it's called Hope Experienced, which for many people at this time of the year is really a bit of a paradigm shift for them. Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this hope as an anchor to the soul, firm and secure. So no, we're not wishing for it. We have it. We have it. It's a firm thing in our lives. It's a secure thing in our lives. And the good news is, if you don't have that hope today, or you're struggling to experience it for yourself, today's your day. Today's a great opportunity to come and experience Christ. It's our honor and privilege to lift His name up high. Everything we do today is all about that heavenly hope. And heavenly hope always rises far above earthly hope. which is nothing more than a wish sometimes. I hope this happens, or I hope that happens. I don't say that anymore. Why? Because I know in my heart the truth that God's given me. I don't have to wonder. I don't have to guess. I know it deep within me, because when you know Christ, you know hope. That's just the truth of it all. And we have experienced it for ourselves. I've experienced it in my life, which allows me to then convey to someone else. It's very difficult to talk to somebody about something you've never experienced before. Oh, you got to go to this show or this restaurant or this movie if you've never seen or eaten at those establishments. It's difficult. But if you've been there yourself, if you've experienced something that has just changed you, it's transformed you, you can't help but kind of unpack that for somebody in a way that comes to life for them because it's happened to you. You know, Christmas is a time of the year where we often celebrate not only Christ, but the coming together of friends and family. It's a time of the year. It's funny, isn't it? It's a little ironic that it's a time of the year when everybody gathers in their homes, and yet it's a story about somebody who didn't even have one, right? Like, he was struggling to find a place. And for us, we think of Christmas, and people say, oh, it's family. It's all about family. And that is important. Being on the West Coast and all our family on the East Coast in Nova Scotia has its challenges sometimes. We don't always have the closeness that we once had with our family members. Every couple of years, my folks will come out to visit, but it doesn't always happen. It gets trickier and more challenging as time goes on. And so we miss that, right? Our parents are often an iPad in the corner sitting on a chair, and it's FaceTime, right? We're opening gifts, and hey, want some turkey? Here you go. And they can't quite experience the exact same thing, but it's the closest we got, so we'll take it, right? But this year was special. My grandpa, who Susan's dad, we call him Grandpa came out to visit for a couple of days. He was out for some board meetings for our network of churches across Canada, and so he was in and out of town very quickly, but we had one night where he came over. Now, just to set this up, about a few weeks before, Grandma, Susan's mom, she promised us something with his visit. And so we were counting on it. We were thinking about it. We were anticipating it. There was hope building in our hearts that it would actually come true. You see, Grandma makes the most unbelievably amazing Christmas tree cookies. It's got this little hint of almond. It's Christmas in your mouth. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. I just know that at this time of the year, quite often we see the siblings eating the cookies online. Like, they'll post pictures of themselves on Instagram so all the people on the West Coast can just be nothing but terribly jealous as they're enjoying it and we're just looking on, right? So Susan's mother says, your dad's coming out to visit. I promise you that I'm going to send some of my Christmas cookies. And we were like, yeah, right. So we knew that this was coming. Cookies promised was something we could hang our hat on. And so Grandpa arrived, came to the house, and when Grandpa arrived, he had a big suitcase with him that was full of gifts. And so as much as we were excited about that, because when he comes, he likes to bring things, kind of like Santa Claus, right, minus the reindeer, the red suit, and the beard. But we were just as excited for his arrival. But I gotta admit that it was kind of like hugging somebody but looking for their wallet at the same time. It was like we were hugging him but looking over his shoulder to see if there was a tin of cookies in that luggage. Because it would have been tragedy. I'm just telling you right now, it would have been absolute tragedy if those cookies didn't make it. Cookies were promised, right? And so we were waiting for cookies to be fulfilled. And so finally, at the bottom of the luggage was a tin. Ah! Right? The cookies! They were there! Cookies fulfilled, people. And as exciting as cookies promised is, cookies fulfilled is even more worth celebrating. But nothing tops cookies experienced. Popped open the tin, opened that cookie, put it in your mouth, and suddenly Christmas had arrived, right? This is a picture of some of those cookies, and they're, I don't know what kind of magic she puts in them from the Maritimes, but it reached all the way to the West this year. And it made all the difference in the world. Now, understand that this tin, I had at least four layers of cookies. And for the four of us in our house, I think this morning when I checked, before I left, there was one cookie left. But last night, before that last cookie disappeared, I grabbed two of them and guarded them. I actually had to hide these cookies in my room so that nobody would eat them in the middle of the night. Now, this cookie has lost the top because this morning in the service, I did that. Now, This morning when I took a bite out of it, it was a much bigger bite than the one I just took. And I could hardly speak afterwards. I needed like a drink, and I didn't have that with me. But this taste of this cookie, listen, I wish I could do an Oprah moment right now and say, bring those cookies in, right? And everybody would get a Christmas cookie today. Grandma wasn't that busy. She didn't cook enough for all of you. But I want to tell you something. Cookies promised is exciting. Cookies fulfilled is worth celebrating. But cookies experienced, people? What's going on in my mouth right now? Unbelievable. I got to tell you, it's bliss, right? But listen to me. Years ago, many, many, many years ago, hope was promised. Prophet Isaiah, 730 plus years before Jesus was even born, promised a deliverer, promised a hero that he would come. And people waited. People watched. One day, finally, after those many, many years, that's a lot of waiting. Imagine if I had to wait for these cookies for 750 years. Like, I've been dead and gone, told the story to my kids and grandkids and their kids, and people would be desperately waiting. But he gave that promise, and people hung on. Till one day, hope was fulfilled. Jesus was conceived miraculously. It was something that nobody had ever heard of before, and now was happening right in front of them. And so as exciting as hope promised and hope fulfilled is, nothing compares to hope experienced. When you experience it firsthand for yourself. You see, hope has a name this morning, and his name is Jesus. And more than anything, he wants you and I, especially at this time of the year, to experience the thrill of hope that can only be found in knowing him. And down through history, God has given us this word. He's given us a roadmap to kind of chart the way. And through the Old Testament, prophets like Isaiah foretold the coming of the Messiah hundreds of years before it even happened. And then gave signs and clues for mankind to watch for. Now the odds of one man fulfilling with his life more than 300 prophecies is absolutely staggering. It boggles the mind. Like, how is that even possible? It had to be a God thing because it was so crazy impossible under normal circumstances. Hope promised fueled the excitement of God's people to believe someday there would be a better day. And then he gave them the strength to wait it out, to bunker down. Isaiah 7:14 says, all right, then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means, listen to this, God with us. In other words, hope experienced. Not God on a mountaintop, not God in a burning bush, God with us. That's the amazing thing. Now, remember, Prophet Isaiah lived in Jerusalem in the 8th century B.C. Like, this is a long, long time before it even happened. It would be like me prophesying and foretelling what you're going to eat for lunch today in great detail. Even the waitress, the name of the waitress that waited on you. Now that would be amazing, right? But imagine if I had done that more than 700 years ago and gave you the details of what was going to happen and who waited on you. That's how amazing this is. These are the kinds of details that the prophet Isaiah maps out that God had spoken to him. The promise, the hope that people held on to and waited and waited and waited. Now, the actual book of Isaiah is one of four major prophetic books in the Old Testament, along with Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And here in chapter 7 of Isaiah, it was written around 735 BC. King Ahaz was on the throne, and Isaiah was sent with the message that God was sending Judah a sign. And that sign would be a child. And that child would be called God with us. Now back then, even the concept of God with us or hope experienced was hard for them to get their head around because it was not the experience of the day. Now, fast forward in the TARDIS and the time machine more than 700 years later to a man named Joseph who is struggling with a perplexing dream. Did you ever wake up from a dream and like you're like, you messed up a little bit for like 5 or 10 minutes. Like I woke up from a dream last night and I didn't know what day it was. I forgot it was Sunday. I forgot I had to preach. I'm like, where am I right now? Like I was just in this situation. Now there's many of those dreams that you are really glad That as the details slip away, that, okay, it's just a dream. I didn't really rob a bank, right? Like, that wasn't the reality. And so usually whatever dreams we have, as wild as they may be, usually those details begin to dissipate. And you try to remember them so that you could tell somebody, but oftentimes they disappear. Yeah, that wasn't happening with Joseph. Those details weren't going away. They were becoming more crystal clear as time went on. As a matter of fact, the reality of the promise of that dream was standing right in front of him. A wife who was pregnant, who he hadn't even married yet, who they hadn't even been together yet. Like, oh, this is not good. This is very scandalous. This is something that I can't understand or have a hard time getting my head around. And so Joseph is going through the reality of what Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years before. Hope fulfilled was found in Christ's miraculous conception, was really this incredible cause for celebration when we understand what it was all about. Even the bewildered parents themselves, when they began to listen to the words of the angel and say, okay, we gotta just work through this. Let's not be afraid. Let's trust God, because a promise has been given. A promise that people had been waiting for a very long period of time. Matthew 1, 20 to 23 says, as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. What? How does that? What? Can you say that again, that last part? The child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And then listen to this. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet, talking about Isaiah, when he said, look, the virgin will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Hope's progression throughout time and in our lives is something we all experienced. We have this promise, this hope, that at some point becomes fulfilled in the knowledge of who he is and when he came into this world. And then that moves us towards the all-important experience that God wants each and every one of us to have. That's why we're inviting people to come to these special services, to this production. Not just to have a wonderful holiday memory, but to experience hope for themselves. So just like the cookie, you know, sometimes you got to taste and see that the Lord is good. You have to experience it for yourself to know and to convey to others how good it is. And when you've experienced the love of God, when you've experienced his forgiveness, when you've had that experience, it changes everything in the way that you live. Romans 15, 13, which is the scripture we started with today, really paints that picture of hope experienced. I pray that God, the source of all hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace. How's that going to happen? Because we've trusted in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, maybe some of you have come today because you've been invited. Maybe you're watching online. We're glad that you're here. But maybe some of you are still searching. Maybe some of you are still looking for answers. But I want you to know that's okay. We want you to feel at home and welcome. This is a safe place to be as you work through those things in your mind. Because we believe this is a place you can belong even before you believe. It's a place where you can get those questions answered and you can experience the hope we're talking about. And whether you're a searcher or whether you've someone who has found Christ many years ago, as you share Christmas with your friends and your family this year, my prayer is that you would be filled with the hope of Christmas, the understanding of who he is, the most amazing gift that we have ever been given is summed up in one word, one name, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. You see, the moment Jesus was born, the hope that had been lost in the garden at the beginning of the book was now restored to the world once again. And it's this confident hope that caused the wise man to travel for hundreds of miles to bring gifts to the newborn king. Now, some of you are only one decision away from experiencing true hope for yourselves. Some of you are being drawn like the kings to that same hope. But again, whether you're following or being drawn, we need to stir ourselves up. We need to take a step in order to capture that focus. It's either a renewed focus or a brand new focus. Because sometimes this season comes and goes, and there's some people that just can't wait for it to be over. Because in truth, it's a painful time for some, because not everybody's family is a picture of perfect Norman Rockwell photo. It's filled with drama, it's filled with tension, it's filled with pain. But in the midst of all of that, whether it's a celebration or something you just want to get done, God wants to give you hope. He wants to fill you with the hope of heaven. Now, let me give you a few ways that you can stir yourself up and be filled with the hope of Christmas. The first one is to believe. It's to believe and be filled at Christmas. This is the key to experiencing joy and peace at Christmas time. It's believing. It's taking a step of faith. And when you believe in God's word, God, he comes alive to you, the God of hope. And he fills you with the joy that we're talking about at Advent this morning. But what happens when you stop believing or you stop hoping? Well, we talked about that last week in Proverbs 13, 12, that hope deferred, lost, or postponed, it makes your heart sick. And this world is a lot of people that are heart sick, that need the doctor to bring healing where healing is needed. You see, the children of Israel lacked hope before Jesus entered the world. They were waiting and waiting and waiting. And it was a long time for many to endure that. And it had been centuries since they were promised a deliverer. And then real hope was born. Romans 15, 13 says, "Now the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace." In what? In believing. In believing. It requires of you stepping out. Don't ever stop believing in hope. Not wishing or wanting the kind of hope that the world has to offer, but I'm talking about Bible hope. Bible hope that is anchored, firm, and secure. Jesus is the hope of Christmas. He's the reason we celebrate. Second thing that we need to do in stirring ourselves up to be filled with that hope at Christmas is to rest in hope this Christmas. That's a tough one because Christmas tends to be a bit of a scramble, right? Yesterday, I had to go and meet someone at the Starbucks over at Guilford. And that was close enough for me to get to the mall. I could feel it vibrating from the outside of the building. I'm like, oh, man, can we just go in and sit down? And I need to get out of here as quickly as possible. I could feel it in the parking lot. I could feel it from the mass amount of humanity that was in there shopping and had to get the gift. Like, that place I stay away from. If I've got to buy something, I get in and get out. As a matter of fact, Amazon is one of the greatest answers to prayer for me ever. Because I don't need to go near the place. I just need to order it, and it'll show up at the door. I don't want to go near that craziness. It's the last thing I need because it sucks the life out of me. It sucks the rest out of me. You see, sometimes our lives are a mess, and we try to fix them. We do all that we can to do that. But it's actually not your job to fix all of the mess. But it is your job to enter into his rest. Because it's from a restful place that you can make better decisions. It's from a restful place that your strength, the strength of your faith is developed and given a foundation. And so experiencing rest is a choice. It's a choice that you make. It's also a choice not to get pulled out of it. How many know that when you're feeling restful, it seems like everything, including hell itself, is warring against you to pull you out of that place? When you find that little zone you can step into, you need to cherish it and refuse to move. Acts 2, 26 and 28 says, "No wonder my heart is glad and my tongue shouts his praises. My body rests in hope. You have shown me the way of life and you will fill me with the joy of your presence." Rest in the integrity and strength of the words of Jesus. Especially when you read scriptures like Matthew 11, 28, when he says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." He actually is our rest. Entering into rest is really entering into that experiential relationship that he wants to have with you. Our Father in heaven never stops reaching for you. And the more messed up you get and the more off course you get, the more he is reaching to pull you back. So take a deep breath take a deep breath, because there's a time to stand and there's a time to breathe. You know, I got a new watch early for Christmas, digital watch, and I haven't even figured it all out yet, right? But it's beeping and shaking and doing things during the day, and I'm like, what is that thing? I didn't even program it to do that. And so yesterday in the middle of the day, I looked down and my watch is vibrating. I looked down and it says, breathe. I'm like, breathe. It was actually just after a meeting, and I'm like, that's actually a pretty good encouragement right now. Breathe. So I kind of dismissed it, and then about 2 hours later, breathe. And so I press a button, and something expands and goes small, and you feel it breathing on your arm. And so I said, okay, I'm going to look foolish, but I'm just going to. I felt incredible after that. That wasn't the watch that gave me that kind of rest or that feeling. It was an understanding that in the midst of everything that you're doing and trying to achieve and trying to believe for and trying to balance, you need to breathe. A little later in the afternoon, my watch vibrated again, and I looked at it. It said, stand. I'm like, what? Stand? Tell me to breathe and stand. Two of the most elementary things in all the world. But you know what? There is a time to breathe, and there is a time to stand. And sometimes you need to stand through some difficult times. Other times you need to enter into his rest, and you need to breathe. And whether you need a watch that tells you to do it or the Holy Spirit, you need to still listen to it. Because you can ignore that, and you can ignore him. But God is telling you today, in the midst of whatever it is you're facing, breathe. Breathe in, breathe out. It's going to be okay. He has seen you through this before. He will see you through it again. Our God is faithful. Our God is with us. Emmanuel, with us. We get to experience that. You know, way back in Bible days, people had to climb to the top of a mountain to talk to God. Moses had to go all the way up, and then he had to watch the way he looked and turned. He had to believe for a bush to catch on fire so that something could be done, so that he could hear from God. Truth is sometimes we fall into that kind of mode again, and we expect that, you know, I'm going to go on Sunday and hear from God, and then I got to wait a whole week to hear from God again. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that anymore. You get to breathe and rest in God's presence. You get to experience a personal relationship with Christ. Christ bridged the gap between God and you so that you don't need a high priest to do it on your behalf. You don't need to send somebody behind a curtain to meet with God and then have them come out and tell you what he said. You don't have to cower or put your head down as you walk into his presence, even if you're messed up, even if you're sinful. You have a Father who loves you, who wants to embrace you with all your mistakes, with all your sinful decisions. He loves you. And he wants to fill you with the hope of heaven so that you can step into his rest. And when the tornado of circumstance is whipping around you, cows are going by, every kind of crazy thing is all happening around you, you can have rest even in the storm. You can have rest even in the busiest time of the year. So key, so important. And then finally, my encouragement to you in stirring yourself up to be filled with the hope of Christmas is to expect miracles at Christmas. God is still doing miracles. You know, when Jesus walked the planet, people were following him, chasing him. Towns were filling up. Why? Why did they do that? It wasn't just to hear and to be taught. It was because most people were hearing miracles take place every time this guy comes to town. Dead people wake up. Deaf people can hear. Blind people can see again. There's some guy that brought his mat because he's never been able to walk before, and he left the meeting that day with his mat, and he walked home. Like, I got to see this guy, right? Most people were clamoring to see Christ because miracles followed him wherever he went. God has not called you or made you to be a follower of miracles. Miracles should follow you wherever you go. Because when you challenge people and direct them to the Savior, that's when those miracles happen. When you lift him up and not yourself, when you lift him up and not your own circumstances, things happen. But God wants to encourage you at this time of the year to expect those things. Expect them in your life. We've been promised in Scripture that greater things shall you do even than the things that I've done. Now, that's a long list of some pretty amazing things that Jesus did. But he's saying not only should these things happen in your life and around you, but greater things than these. Can you imagine? Greater things than the things that Jesus did? Listen, you'd be the talk of the town if some of those things were happening around you. But you can expect for miracles to take place. And doctors give you a diagnosis that is incredibly serious and something that you can't solve, and nor can they. God Almighty can bring a miracle. God Almighty can change your circumstances, but we need to believe, we need to expect that those things can happen. The supernatural power of God doesn't go on pause during a busy time of the year, right? We're closed, we're gone fishing. We'll come back next year, I'll have more time to deal with those miracles. No, God is still working, still moving. And just because everyone seems preoccupied with shopping and family and travel and all the things that happen, even if those things aren't a central part of your Christmas experience, God wants to show himself strong in your life. The greatest miracle of all is the miracle of a changed life. Somebody who is going this direction and going deeper into darkness, discouragement, and depression, someone that's been pulled out of that and shown a different path, a path that's filled with light and hope and promise. Someone that's on a path that's a new beginning, a new chapter, a new opportunity. Some of us have been begging for that. I just can't keep doing this anymore, Lord. Like, you've got to help me. That's why he came. But he wants you to be expecting that. I'm expecting a miracle today. Can I be honest with you? Last night, as I laid in bed in the dark, Susan was asleep. I had just spent some time with the Lord praying and going through notes and getting ready for the message. I couldn't fall asleep. I had and I don't have a difficulty sleeping usually, but I have a hard time going to sleep, and I'm like, Lord, why can't I? I need to rest. I need to get ready for tomorrow. And he was stirring me to pray for you today, because I was lying in bed expecting God to move in this service, in your life. I'm expecting miracles today. I'm expecting God to move in some of your lives like you've never experienced before. Today is a day that God has designed and brought you to a place where he can connect. He's come near to you today. Some of you are thankful for this time of the year, the hope promised. Some of you even celebrate with your family and your church. You celebrate hope fulfilled. Jesus in a manger, we believe that. So the story is kind of familiar to a lot of people. But not everybody is rooted in the reality of that story. Today, hope experienced could be your Christmas story. And you may be feeling far from God, even like the last person that God would ever speak to. Like the shepherds, maybe out in the field somewhere. Nobody cares about us. And yet a light came and a message came. That same message is coming to you today. Some of us have become disconnected with hope. We've experienced it before. We've walked with Christ. But over time, we started to put our hope in people. We put our hope in our achievements. Put our hope in the gain that we think is necessary in life. But in this moment, right now, if you reach out to God, he will come near to you. We live on this side of hope, right? Our hope has come. That's the reality of this. So today I would say to you that if you're far from God, if you feel disconnected, then it would be my honor to pray for you. You are what kept me awake last night. I couldn't go to sleep because I had to pray. So I began to pray, and I don't remember when I fell asleep. I just prayed until I fell asleep. Prayed for those of you that are making big decisions. Prayed for those of you that have been resistant and maybe have held this decision off for some time. But today, as we pray, you have an opportunity to see your slate wiped clean, your sins washed away, your heart made new, and your new life can begin today. Scripture tells us in Revelation 21:5, says, look, I'm making all things new. This is that opportunity for you, for God to make all things new. Not to hang some lights on a broken situation, but to actually be healed, to be changed and transformed. Would you bow your heads with me this morning as we pray? As Everyone has their eyes closed and their heads bowed, just in honor of the people that are making decisions. If that's you this morning, if you say, Pastor Steve, I want you to include me in that prayer to connect with God. I need Jesus in my life. Or maybe you need to reconnect. The Bible says that if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Saved from the mess, saved from the stress and the unrest. Given a new beginning, a new start, a new opportunity to start afresh. If that's you today, while your head is bowed all across this auditorium, for those of you that are watching live on our online stream, wherever you are, hotel room, at home, if that's you today, I want to pray for you too. So as your head is bowed and just in reverence of the decisions being made, I want to ask you right now, in Jesus' name, don't miss this opportunity. This is your opportunity. Hope experienced could be your story in knowing him. So right now, all over this auditorium, you should say, Pastor Steve, I don't want to miss it. I want to reconnect with Christ. I want to know him. If that's you, shoot your hand up right now, nice and high, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Shoot it up nice and high so that I can see it, and I want to include you in this prayer. I'm not here to embarrass you, but I want to pray with you. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Over here. Thank you. Up here. Thank you. Anywhere. Put up your hand. I don't want to rush through this. Thank you. Wherever you are. Yeah, up in the back. All across this auditorium, right there. Yes. Thank you. Anybody else? Right down here. Thank you. I don't want to miss praying for you. That's why I couldn't sleep, because I was believing for this moment. I'm expecting miracles right now in this moment. Is there anybody else that would say, Pastor Steve, I don't want to miss this opportunity. Please pray for me. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's so good. So good. Now, as your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, we don't want anybody to pray alone. So, Calvary, let's pray it nice and loud together with those that are praying for the first time. Let's pray this together. Lord Jesus, I thank you today for giving your life so that I could have mine. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Thank you for forgiving my sins and for giving me a new start. I love you, Lord. Help me to be filled with the hope of Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Calvary, let's give a big hand to all those decisions that were made today. Amen.